Got a couple of messages I want to share with you in the ensuing weeks. Didn't want to start our series on 2 Thessalonians yet, as we'll be having a speaker come in next week. I want to share with you some thoughts here today from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you'll please turn there with me. And as you're doing so, you might look around and take a look at the congregation. Would you say it's getting bigger? Or is it getting smaller? Now, we might attribute our shrinking membership to any number of things. I wrote down 10 here on my sheet. We could have made it probably 20. But the first thing I thought was, hey, the younger generation, it's not interested in spiritual things. That's why it's shrinking. Or maybe we could say, you know, in this area of the Northeast, it's pretty much cold and indifferent to the gospel. I mean, just earlier this year, we sent out some 5,000 flyers, and we got 3 responses from it. They're cold, they're indifferent. That's why we're not growing. Or maybe a lot about our church. You know, our church speaks strongly on the sovereignty of God concerning salvation. Maybe that's the problem. Or, again, our church takes a stand of separation from the world. Our church practices head covering. Our church is not full of rock and roll music. We don't even have a band on the stage. There are a lot more mega churches in the area, a lot more mega churches than ever before. Maybe one of the reasons that we're so small is that, families have been moving away. And then, of course, there's that thought, our pastor's old. But maybe most of all, we would just say, you know what? We kind of like it. Small and cozy. It's kind of comfortable. And we don't have a lot of problems in this church. It's small. It's cozy. It's comfortable. Now, all of these things may contribute to us shrinking rather than growing. But today, what I want us to do, I want each of us to ask ourselves this penetrating question. What am I personally doing to see our church grow? Now, that might stir up another question. Do I have any responsibility to see that our church grows? And maybe we could ask this question based on that question. Do we have any responsibility to evangelize others? And by the way, what's it mean to evangelize others? I want you to listen as I share with you a number of various definitions of evangelism. I'm going to start with the simple and move to the more complex. For example, evangelism, a definition of it is this: those who know, telling those who don't know. That's pretty simple, right? How about this? Evangelism, teaching the gospel with the aim to persuade. Thirdly, evangelism, sharing the truth of the gospel with a non-believer. Evangelism, it's inviting people into a relationship with God through intentionally spiritual investment into another person's life. Some define evangelism as the process of communicating the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ in a way that leads to a personal relationship with Jesus that produces spiritual life and then leads to discipleship. Getting a little bit more thorough, aren't we? How about this one? Evangelism is the joyful sharing the good news of the sovereign love of God and calling people to repentance, to personal faith as Savior and Lord, to active membership in the church, and to obedient service in the world. Evangelism is to present Christ Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit that men shall come to put their trust in God through him, to accept him as their Savior, and to serve him as their King in the fellowship of his church. And then finally, this one, evangelism. It's the Great Commission found in the section of Jesus' final words on earth, recorded in Matthew 28, Luke chapter 24, Acts chapter 1, in which he commands by his total authority that all his followers go and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them to observe his teaching. Now, could you say any of these definitions of evangelism describes what you're doing? It's interesting to note that the word evangelism does not appear in the King James Bible. Now, the word evangelist appears three different times. The Greek word that's translated evangelist, Strong says in his concordance that it means one who brings good tidings. Another form of the same Greek word is translated 46 times gospel, 11 times gospel of Christ, 7 times gospel of God, 3 times gospel of the kingdom. And you take both those forms of the Greek word, and you can find that they come from the root word, which is translated 23 times preach, 11 times preach the gospel, 6 times good or glad tidings. All of these found in the King James Bible. Okay, so let's put all of this together. How can you and I define evangelism? Well, it's the act of preaching the gospel of Christ in bringing good tidings to others. Are you practicing that? If you don't share the gospel with others, do you at least invite others to come and hear the gospel? My wife was just sharing with me the other day that she'd heard, I don't know where it was, but she'd heard that someone was saying that the best form of evangelism is for people to invite others to come to church. The flyers that we send out, you know, that's an act, you know, trying to get them in here. But most people come to church because they've had a personal invite from somebody else. What I want to show you this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is that God has given to us a role, a primary role, for all of us Christians. What is that role? Let's take a look at it here now. But I want to remind you, last week we said, all right, the wife's role is to submit to her husband. The husband's role was to love his wife and be not bitter towards her. And the children's role was to obey their parents. Well, these are all individual roles that he's given to us. But there is a role that he has given to all men, women, and children. And what is that primary role that he's given to us? Well, let's take a look at it here, verse 17. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, the ministry that God has given to all of us, men, women, and children, is the ministry of reconciliation. But that ministry is only given to those who are in Christ. So the first question I put to you this morning, are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Have you, by faith, Acknowledge that you are a sinner, and have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Galatians 2:16. Are you in Christ? By the way, do you know what the Bible says you have because you are in Christ? Let me just share a few things. We are elected in Christ, Ephesians 1:4. We are justified in Christ, Romans 3:24. We are the children of God by faith in Christ, Galatians 3:26. We are sanctified in Christ, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 20. We are wise in Christ, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 10. We have the promise of life in Christ, 2 Timothy 1:1. And we triumph in Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. And I didn't exhaust that study. These are just some of the things that we have, we who are in Christ. Look at your very first purpose on your sheet. If you're not in Christ, this should be your purpose. I purpose to confess. I'm a sinner and will confess Jesus as my Savior that I might be in Christ. The ministry of reconciliation is for those who are in Christ. All right, look at your next purpose though. Because I am in Christ, I purpose to be more thankful for all that I have in Christ. Well, one of the compelling things that will get us out and involved in this ministry of reconciliation is a thankful spirit. Being thankful for all that God's done for us and is doing for us. If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, what does verse 17 say that you become? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And by the way, listen to me. You did not evolve into a new creature. When you were born again, it happened the very moment that you believed, having been quickened by the Spirit of God, having been quickened by the Word of God, and perhaps even by a circumstance in your life. John chapter 6. The fact that God is our spiritual creator can be seen in the very first part of verse 18. He says this, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ. You see that word, reconciled? We can define reconcile as restoring a friendly relationship with another. It means to make peace with another. It means to kiss and make up. It has a connotation of to declare truce. It means to bury the hatchet. And not in the head of someone else, but in the ground, all right? Bury the hatchet. Let's forgive. Let's forget. God took the initial step to reconcile us to himself. But why is it that you and I need to be reconciled to God? Well, what caused our relationship to be broken in the first place? Why were we not at peace with God? Because of our what? Because of our sin. You and I need to be reconciled because we're sinners. And sin, the Bible tells us, separates us from God. Let me give you a verse. Isaiah 59, verse 2 says this. But your iniquities have separated you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Our sin separates us from God. But it does even more than that. Our sin causes us to become the enemies of God. I'm reading now from Romans 5, verses 10 and 11. Just listen as I read them. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, how? By the death of his son. much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life, by his death, by his life. We are reconciled to God when we were his enemies. He continues, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. It's the same word, reconciliation. Our sin made you and I enemies of God. Our relationship with him was broken. Now, God sought to restore our relationship by taking away our sin, which separated us, by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins and being raised from the grave. I want you to do something with me. Yes, you can keep your marker right here in 2 Corinthians, but come over with me to the book of Colossians. It shouldn't be too hard to find. We were there last week in Colossians 3. But today I want you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. And I want you to see Paul's prayer for the Colossians. He's praying that they might be filled with the knowledge and wisdom of the Lord. That's chapter 1, verse 9. But he also prays that they might walk worthy of the Lord. Walk worthy of the Lord. That's in verses 10 through 18. What is involved in walking worthy of the Lord? Well, according to verse 10, that they would be fruitful unto every good work. Also, according to verse 10, that they would be increasing in the knowledge of God. And then thirdly, why they would be strengthened with all might by God's power. Verse 11. And then fourthly, he says that they would be given thanks unto the Father. I'm going to focus on that point, giving thanks unto the Father. I'm going to read to you verses 12 through 22. And as I read these verses, I want you to note everything that we have because God has reconciled us to himself. I'm convinced you and I will not be involved in the ministry of reconciliation unless we fully comprehend what we have because God has reconciled us to himself. What do we have? Well, let's read on, beginning with verse 12. Colossians 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, watch the very first thing, which has made us meet, which has qualified us to be what? Be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. God has qualified us to be part of his inheritance in heaven. But what else has he done? Yeah, he's made us qualified, but look at this, verse 13. Who hath delivered us? What? From the power of darkness. And if that's not enough, read on. And hath translated us where? Into the kingdom of his dear son. You say it hasn't happened. In God's mind, it has happened. It's as certain as this pulpit. But he doesn't stop there. He says in verse 14, in whom we have redemption. How? Through his blood. Get this, even the forgiveness of sins. What do you have? Because you've been reconciled to God. You have the forgiveness of sins. You have the forgiveness of sins. Now, look at verses 15 through 18. Here it emphasizes Jesus Christ as our physical creator. He says, who, in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Listen, Jesus Christ is our physical creator. We should give thanks for that. But look what comes next. Jesus Christ is our spiritual creator. Verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. What has God done for us? Look at verse 20, and having made peace, peace with God, having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. He has reconciled us to himself, sending Jesus Christ to shed his blood for our sins. And verse 21, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he hath reconciled. You've been reconciled. You who were alienated from him, you who were enemies of him. And then finally we read in verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Now, those are just some of the things that you and I have because we're in Christ, because he has redeemed us to himself. Look at your purpose as we put this all together. Because of all God has done for me in making me qualified for an eternal inheritance, in redeeming me, in making peace with me, in having reconciled me to himself the very moment I believe Christ died for my sins, you know what? I purpose to daily give thanks for my salvation. We cannot be thankful enough for what God has done for us. Now, I'll tell you, I shared Romans 5, I shared Colossians 1 with you in hopes of helping you understand some of the blessings that you've received when God reconciled you to himself. All right, let's go back to 2 Corinthians 5. Because it's here in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, we read how God has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. But I also want you to know, what else has God done for us? The very one who has reconciled us to himself, what else has he done for us? Look at verse 18. And, he says, and he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Us. You see the word us? It's a reference to the church. It's a reference to those who've already been reconciled with God by faith, those who are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Therefore, your purpose, look at it. Because this is the ministry God has given to me, and because of all the blessings that come with being reconciled with God, I purpose to be more faithful in fulfilling my ministry of reconciliation. And why does mankind need to be reconciled with God? For the same reason you and I needed to be reconciled unto God. Because we are what? Sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As we've already said, sin separates us. Sin makes us the enemies of God. There's a lot of sinners out there. There's a lot of enemies of God out there. Who could be participant of our blessings if we'll share? Our fear of being chastened by God for not obeying him, or our love for God because of all we have in Christ, because of all the blessings that we've received, having been reconciled to God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that should be more than enough to motivate us to share the good news of how others can be reconciled with God. God has given to us the ministry of telling others, the world, both Jews and Gentiles, how they can be reconciled to God. And that comes by God not imputing their trespasses unto them. Now, what does that mean, not imputing? Well, this word translated here, not imputing, is also translated not counting, not reckoning their sins unto them. You can find all three of those words, imputing, counting, reckoning, in Romans chapter 4, where Paul describes how our sin When we trusted in Christ, the moment we trusted in Christ, our sin was placed on him and his righteousness was placed on it, on us. So when God sees us, he doesn't see us in our wickedness. He sees our holiness, the holiness of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. In a nutshell, the ministry God's given to us is to show others how they can be reconciled with God by having their sins forgiven. And that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, how can we do this? Well, we can do this using the tool that God has given to us to show others how they can be reconciled to him. And what's that tool, people? Well, look at verse 19. Last phrase in 19 says what? And he committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You and I are to use the word of God to show mankind that because they are sinners, they need to be reconciled with God by believing that Christ died for their sins. Now, one method is to use Romans 1 and 2 and 3. Those first three chapters of Romans shows us that Jews, Gentiles, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you can also use chapter 3, 4, and 5 to show them how they can be reconciled to God through faith in Jesus Christ. So you can use the first six chapters of Romans to accomplish the ministry of reconciliation. And of course, you can also use Colossians 1, which we showed you this morning. But notice your purpose, please, on your sheet. I purpose to use the word of God when seeking to fulfill my ministry of reconciliation. Are you a new man in Christ? Then know this. God's given to you the ministry of reconciliation. He's given to you the word of reconciliation. Perhaps you've not been all that faithful in fulfilling your God-given role as a Christian because you've forgotten what it means to be a new creature in Jesus. Perhaps you've forgotten that having been reconciled to God, you have so many blessings, and that others can have these same blessings, especially the blessing of having your sins forgiven. And maybe it also is that you've forgotten, along with those things, that you are an ambassador for Christ. Look at verse 20. Verse 20 says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God." Have you forgotten that you're Christ's ambassador? Have you forgotten what the role of an ambassador is? What's the primary role of an ambassador? He's to represent the one who sent him. And in representing the one who sent him, what is his role when he goes to this, wherever he's sent? His role is to make peace and to maintain peace. That's the purpose of an ambassador. He said, "I'm to obey, I go in obedience to the one who sent me to make peace, to maintain peace." That's the ministry of what? Of reconciliation. A reconciler is a peacemaker. He makes it and he maintains it. That's our role. That's a primary role as a Christian. When a division arises between people and God because of sin, and I don't care whether it's outside the church or I don't care whether it's inside the church, God beseeches us to get involved. Look what he says here in the latter part. "As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Here the admonition is to assist those in the church who are sinning against God by sinning against another to be reconciled to one another and to God. Think about it. Over the years, now we see our crowd has shrunk, and I gave you 10 reasons why it may have shrunk. Well, another reason I could have thrown out there was this. Many have left because they failed to get reconciled with their brothers. They fail to make peace with one another within the church. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, he says to his listeners that if they're about ready to worship God and they remember that someone has something against them, they're to leave their gift before the altar and first be reconciled to their brother and then come and offer thy gift. He says it's imperative. And how does one do that? We've talked about that in times past. You go and you say to that one, how have I offended you? And then you ask the second question, what steps can I take to be forgiven? Then we learned in Matthew 18 that if we've offended someone, or someone has offended us, I should say, we're to go to them and confront them and say to them, listen, here's how you've offended me, and here are the steps you can take to correct it. Over the years, I don't know how many families we lost, but there have been a lot of families lost because they failed to perform the ministry of reconciliation, the very ministry that God had given to them. Either they didn't go and ask for forgiveness, or they didn't go and confront. They just threw up their hands and left. Look at your purpose here on your sheet, please. If I know someone who has offended another, I purpose to encourage them to go to that person that they've offended and ask them, how have I offended you? And what steps can I take to correct the offense? And here's the second purpose. If I know someone who has been offended, I purpose to encourage them to go and confront the person, sharing with them how they've been offended and what the person can do to correct it. Notice what he says here. Paul says, we pray you in Christ's stead, or in behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Why do we pray for others to be reconciled? Well, who is it that gives a spirit of repentance to where that person will acknowledge the truth and where that person will flee from the snare of the devil who's taken him captive? We know that from 2 Timothy chapter 2, 24, 25, and 26. Who is the one who gives the spirit of repentance? God. That's why you have to pray for this whole aspect. Your ministry of reconciliation involves not only sharing the word, but it involves you praying that God would go before you and prepare a heart. I can tell you what happened. In many instances, when I went and told others to go and to get reconciled, God did not give them a spirit of repentance. And they're not fully comprehending it, that God was judging them, didn't deal with it. And they have not dealt with it. An ambassador for Christ will pray, will share the word, especially look at verse 21. What should you share? Well, share, for he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, when a person confesses himself to be a sinner and Christ to be a Savior, something miraculously happens. Her sin is placed on the sinless Savior, and Christ's righteousness is placed on them, and they are reconciled with God. They are at peace with God. Now, you notice that in this whole aspect that they're addressing the Corinthians. One of the things we have to understand that sometimes the sin that separates a person from God is a sin against another brother. And if you don't think the Corinthians had sinned one against the other, I would encourage you this afternoon to read 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, and you can find just about any sin had been committed by one another within the church. And there was a lot of offense. So sometimes in assisting Christians to be reconciled one to another and to God, you might need to remind them of what God has done for them and expects of them. You can't rehearse the ministry of reconciliation too often in a Christian's ear. Last two purposes, let's take a look at them as we close. When seeking to reconcile two Christians, I purpose to pray with and for them and to preach to them, reminding them that they are a new creature in Christ, that God's reconciled him unto himself by faith in Christ Jesus, and remind them of the blessings they've received in having been reconciled. I will also remind them God has given to them the ministry of reconciliation and the word of reconciliation. They've either forgotten it or, boy, they're in pure rebellion and not wanting to be reconciled. And last purpose, take a look at this. Because I am a new creature, having been reconciled to God and having received all the blessings of being reconciled and having been given the ministry of reconciliation, I purpose to share with others the gospel and or invite them to come and hear the gospel. How would you answer this question? Hey, what am I personally doing to see the church grow? How am I involved in the ministry of reconciliation? Inside the church, outside the church. How am I involved? Listen, take some tracts with you. Give an invitation to someone to come to church. Offer to do a Bible study with them. There are just a number of different ways that you can begin to try to encourage others to come into the church. Just recently, Argentina had an opportunity to speak to some that work in the Cohoes school where she's at. And we saw Linda's been out. Linda's been out to three counseling sessions. Linda's also now brought a significant other to a counseling session this week. While she was there this week, she says, I've got someone else that down there at the school that would like to counseling. She has some trouble with her son. Could you meet with them? Listen, this is the way it starts. It starts by us talking to others about the church, inviting them to come to church. And who knows how it can mushroom. Starts off with one, your locality and your wherever your work, your workplace, your school. It starts out with just one, and then it goes to our friends, then it goes to, and the next thing we know, that oh my goodness. You know, as we've been a blessed people, man, we've been reconciled with God. Not because of us, but because of him. He's reconciled us. He's blessed us over and over. I just shared a few of the blessings today. Next time we meet, I'm going to speak to you about the five crowns that you can receive being involved in this ministry of reconciliation. I'm hoping to motivate each and every one of us because of our love for God, because of our fear of God, to be more and more concerned about this ministry. And to, if we truly have these riches, if you truly believe you have these riches, don't you want to share them with somebody else? Wouldn't you like to let somebody else know how they can be at peace with God? Man, this man who killed these individuals yesterday, what that man needs is to have someone step up and share with him how he can have peace. Man, he has no peace. All he has is he's at war and himself and at others. There's no peace. He needs peace, just like you and I needed peace when God reconciled us to himself. Well, let's just pray and ask God to use us individually as his instruments in this ministry of reconciliation. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, first of all, that we are in Christ through faith in Jesus Christ. Secondly, Lord, we want to thank you that you have blessed us with this ministry of reconciliation, that you blessed us with the word of reconciliation, that, Lord, we are your ambassadors. And our role as your ambassadors to help brothers and sisters be reconciled to one another, to help those who are lost and undone to be reconciled unto you through faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, we are so thankful that our sins were placed on Jesus and his righteousness was placed on us the very moment that we received Jesus Christ as our Savior. Give us the boldness. Give us the opportunity to invite others come to church, to come to Christ. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.